You're on the Sunday Big Brekkie, and our special guest today is Les Collins. How you going, Les?
Very good, thanks, Dan.
Mate, great to have you with us here on the Sunday Big Brekkie on your story now. Can you tell us where you're born, your people, and how it all started?
Well, I was born in Sherbourne. My mother comes from Ngungari country. She was born in Charleville. And that Charleville to Mitchell, was that? My grandfather is a Gugiyalaji, and my grandmother is Gawa Yiradali. And my father was born on Sherbig, so I'm not sure what the law there is, whether he'd be classified as Waka Waka, which is where Sherbig is. it's in Waka Waka country. Or whether he'd be classified as Gugiyalaji or Go Yirrindali, but anyway, that's my bloodline.
Now, the first time I seen you, brother, was on stage at the Oakle Centre back in the 70s there, when the Murray dances were huge in those days. Must be every Murray in Brisbane must have been those Oakle dances.
They were very popular. And we staged them to raise money for the Natives, Brisbane Natives Football Club. And they were very successful because we raised lots of money, paid all our fees. We didn't get grants from anywhere like that. We were totally independent. And we even raised enough to take the players away on end of season trips and stuff like that. And the trip was quite funny, but I won't go into that. And how I come to be playing in a band is, on Sherbourg I used to listen to Lonnie Angus Rabbit. He used to go to his place, and he had all these vinyl records, hadn't he, with that red sort of vinyl, and he used to play them, and he had this red electric guitar that he used to play. He used to play in the community hall on Sherbourg. And most of the stuff they did were instrumentals, but there were quite a few people who'd get up and sing now and again. And I remember Auntie Nellie McCarver had a beautiful voice. She used to get up and sing all the country stuff like that. And I was thinking, oh geez, I'd love to be able to play that. Even though, in my childhood, my grandfather just taught me how to sing all the language songs, and how to play the mouth organ and stuff like that. And I used to travel around with the mouth organs in the Crobbery troupe, and we used to do performances at the exhibition ground here in Brisbane. We also did one at Gympie, and I was only about 6 year old, six or 7 year old, and it was, I remember it was Princess Alexandra that we performed for. Now, if I'd have known what the British Crown did to our people before that, I wouldn't have performed for it. I was only a little kid and knew nothing, so we used to go around and do the Crobbery and stuff. But I went from learning all those Crobbery songs and dances and stuff like that to taking an interest in guitar, because you can thank Uncle Angus. That's young Angus's father.
That's fantastic. Now, from there, how did you get into community work and into health? And
when I came from Brisbane, the Department of Aboriginal Affairs Board put me into this apprenticeship with the Public Works Department. They put me in a place called People's Palace.
Yep, in Brisbane. People's Palace.
Anne and Edmund Street there.
Yep.
Yeah, and I stayed there for 3 months. First 3 months in Brisbane, I didn't know anybody. I was walking around Brisbane, I reckon I knew every brick in the sidewalks of Brisbane there. Reminds me of that song, Rise on Cowboy. I got in touch with some people I stayed with at Nashville in one of the excursions that they arranged for us. I think Harold Blair used to arrange excursions for the kids from the missions. And he'd get support in it to either Brisbane or Melbourne, places like that. So I moved in and stayed with them for a while, and finally caught up with some Guris. And there was my uncle Andy O'Chin.
Yep.
He was staying over at Uncle Darcy's place at West End, I packed up all my stuff and went over there and stayed with Uncle Darcy and Mrs. Mack and the Cummins family and McCarthy family. They were all in the same place. And Uncle Andy, yeah. And that got me back in interested in music and guitar. Because Uncle Andy, oh, geez, one of the best guitarists I've ever come across. And the old Darcy wasn't bad. He was bloody good. They had a band. They used to play at the Anala Hotel. They also used to have dances over at Tuong. There was an old church in Tuong there where they used to have dances. And we'd all walk. We'd walk from Highgate Hill. We used to stay at sometimes at all those young fellas get together at Uncle BJ, Bowman Johnson's place. And we'd walk from Highgate Hill to Tuong for the dance, then walk back again somewhere. Yeah, it was fun. So yeah, that got me interested in music. And at any rate, when I was staying with people down in Nashville, I remember their son bought a stereo, and I asked him how he bought it, and he said, "Oh, I put it on hire purchase." I said, "Oh, I'll go and try one too." And so I went into get one, and the lady, it was all Tritton's. Used to be a big departmental store like Myers, but up with a casino, isn't it? All relics of Squid. And she said, "Oh, yeah, you can put it on high purchase." And she looked at me, she says, "Are you Aborigine?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, you can't enter a high purchase agreement without a letter approving that." I said, "Where do I get that?" She said, "From the State Department of Aboriginal Affairs." Oh, shit. So, because I really wanted a stereo, so I wanted my way down there.
What year?
This is 67, 68. So I'm on my way down there. Nah, shit. Nah. This can't be right. Desi didn't have to do this. So why should I have to do it? The only reason I have to do it is because I'm black and he's not. Anyway, I said, "Bugger, now I want to go ahead with it." But that got me thinking. I said, "There's something wrong here." I thought the Aboriginal Act and the stuff only applied to us when we lived on the reserve, but no, it's happening out here in Brisbane. So I said, "I bugger, I'm going to go to Sydney, get away from this racist bloody place." So I go to Sydney and meet up with some of our legends of the Aboriginal rights struggle down there, like Paul Coe, Michael Anderson, or Gilla Anderson, Gary Foley, Gary Williams, Chickie Dixon, and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, a
lot of Dennis Walker?
Well, Dennis back here in Brisbane, yeah. And that's where we... so I found out that New South Wales wasn't any different than Queensland in terms of racism, you see. Because the Gurries were, or Curries as they had in there, were being thrown into jail left, right and centre for misdemeanors like that. And one of the big issues there was that they didn't have any legal representation, so they didn't know the legal system, so they just pleaded guilty and they'd go in and whatever. But anyway, I said, that led to the establishment of the Redfern Aboriginal Legal Service. And led to Paul studying law at the University of New South Wales, with the assistance of Hal Wooten, who was the Dean of the Law Faculty at the time, because in those days there was no such thing as ab study. Hal said to us, "You know, a few of you should do it." He said, "But I can only support one." And we didn't have any jobs and things like that. We had seasonal work, but nothing to be able to afford a university course, you see. At any rate, hung around there for a while, got the legal service set up and so forth. We're in the early days of getting the Redfern AMS, or Aboriginal Community Mental Health Service, set up with the help of the eye specialist. What's his name again? Fred Hollows.
Fred Hollows.
Yeah. And May Elby Mayers and Arnie Sherl, as they call it.
Yep.
Whilst I was still in the planning process, I came back to Brisbane because Sydney was getting too big for me, too big and too far, so I came back here.
Well, they sent you down there as a Murray?
Pardon?
Did the Curry sent you down there?
Oh, yeah, straight away, yeah. Oh, open arms, yeah. Yeah, no, they're very good. A couple of places I stayed. And when I first went out, there was some white folk I knew up at Potts Point, which is a bit of a flash joint up in near the cross there. But I moved out to Redfern long after that.
Were the hostel built then? The accommodation? The block?
No, nothing. The block was there. And I used to stay at Orb Phillips. I used to go there and stay there. Solly Blair used to stay there. That's where I got involved with Max Silver and his band called Silver Lining.
Yep.
Used to play at